The reinsurer has the right to reprice the contract for the remaining coverage relating to existing underlying contracts that are already ceded. In the fact pattern considered, if the reinsurer exercises its right to reprice the reinsurance contract, then the entity, as the cedent, has the right to terminate the coverage. However, if the reinsurer doesn't exercise their right to reprice, the entity is committed to continue paying premiums to the reinsurer for the full duration of the underlying contracts. In the February TRG meeting, it was observed that for reinsurance contracts held, cash flows are within the contract boundary if they arise from the substantive rights and obligations of the entity that exist during the reporting period in which the entity is compelled to pay amounts to the reinsurer, or in which the entity has a substantive right to receive services from the reinsurer. The analysis in this paper observes that a right of the entity to terminate coverage that is triggered by the reinsurer's decision to reprice the reinsurance contract is not relevant when considering whether a substantive obligation to pay premiums exists. And this is because this right is not within the entity's control, and so the entity would continue to be compelled to pay premiums to the reinsurer for the entire contractual term. So that was the overview of Agenda Paper 4, and now I'll ask you for your views on the analysis in that paper.
Thanks, Laura. I agree with the staff recommendation. Staff analysis. Anybody else? But even if we agree, I think it would be good if people say, okay, some words, because we have observers, it is educational, and so it helps people implementation. Jens?
I fully agree with the paper. I think it's consistent. I think it's consistent with the understanding of what is a contract. A contract is consists of enforceable rights and obligations, and as you lay out, there's no right for future service, but there is an obligation for future service, and there is an event where where you can come out of the obligation, but this is not in the control of the entity. So therefore, it is consistent with the definition of a contract in other standards, in other areas within IFRS, when you look for IFRS 15 or IFRS 16. So I fully agree with the paper that here we have the right answer in the staff paper.
Okay. Thanks, Jens. Kevin?
I agree with the analysis in the staff paper. I think it's a very specific example, but that was submitted to you, and I agree with the analysis.
Thanks. Leslie?
I also agree, and I would like to point out that it helps to clarify that in assessing the boundary of the contract, you have to look at it from both sides. It's not just about what the entity has the right to do, but it's about what the other party has the right to do as well. And in effect, you only have a shortened contract boundary if both parties can get out of it.
Thanks. Sei-chan?
Thank you. I also agree with the analysis and the conclusion in the paper. But what is not discussed in the paper is the significant operational challenges in implementing that conclusion. I understand the theoretical requirements of including future new business yet to be issued in that cash flow estimate. I question, this was also raised in the last TRG meeting, question how this projection could be done in a manner which is practical and reliable.
Do you have a suggestion?
I don't know how you can do this projection reliably.
We do it today.
But Leslie has.
we have to do this today in our financial reporting method, so I'd be happy to talk to you about it.
Thank you. Cho.
I agree with the conclusion. I'd say it's quite a limited scope example, and we don't have a lot of this type of reinsurance. But I think it does illustrate the principle that it's the later of the substantive right and the substantive obligation when they cease.
Okay, thank you for that. Laura, summary?
Okay, so summary. I got this last time as well, one where everyone agrees.
you need to pick the topics.
Okay, so I got from that that everyone agreed with the accounting analysis in the paper, and some of the comments on top of that were that although this is a limited scope example, it helps to illustrate the principle that you need to look from both sides to, that both people can get out of the contract, and that this is a similar kind of theme that you see in other standards for other contracts. And other than that, I didn't get anything outside of agreeing with the analysis.
Okay, thanks, Laura. So we are ahead of time. I would suggest that we don't start with coverage units. And we go now to lunch and coming back at 1:35. Thank you a lot.
Thank you.